Okay.
It always makes you cry.
He made my punch list.
And that was our first fight. Time is a flat circle.
Like, two people are gonna get this.
Ooh. Love, Kale.
Ew. I want him to crawl to me.
Now that was spicy.
Your Honor, I love him.
Gross! Why choose means you don't choose.
I want a third act breakup because I want him to grovel.
There are exceptions to every rule.
Trust me, I'm a father. Don't worry, Daddy's got you. Welcome to chapter 23 of the Smut Daddy podcast.
Hi, guys.
Hello, everybody. We took a week off. We rested and recovered from life. And here we are. For you guys, it has only been a week. But for us, I feel like it's been a couple weeks, right?
Couple weeks. Filmed.
But we are back. And it feels good. Feels good. It is the week of love this week. This will be our Valentine's Day episode where we chat about our favorite couples, which I think yours is harder to crack than my list, I feel like. I feel like you're like, I like the girl and not the guy. Or I like the guy and not the girl. And me, I'm like, I liked all of it. All of them. There's from the beginning.
Yes. It's a rarity when I like both of them.
I feel so. I was just thinking of the ones that came off my head the quickest, like right off the top of my head, because I was like, oh, this list is going to be, this could be way longer for us. But we each picked 7, because in my head, I was telling Britt, I'm like, 7 plus 7 is 14, which is Valentine's Day, and that's how it's going to work out. So that's
it makes what we're doing logical today. Sense it's in my brain. So you don't have to keep explaining to me at all. I was like, yep, that
you were, yes, like
that, yes. The math we got.
You were
it.
Like your girl math completely added up, and I was like, okay, yep. Okay, yes. But as
but then
always,
I was like, fuck, I can only pick 7.
Yeah, I know. It does towards the end, even for me, I was like, there are definitely couples I love that people are going to be like, what about them? There are more. We can always do part 2, but we picked 7 this time because still a lot of books for all of us to get through. But as always, we will start with what we read this week. I'm giggly because I'll just go first. I didn't read anything, not one thing. Life was too much for me this week. So I'll tell you guys what I watched, because I actually watched TV. When I'm not watching toddler things or anything like that, like Mr. Smut Daddy and I do like to watch a lot of TV. I'm chronically online in every avenue. And then you might be thinking, how do you read so much? I just don't sleep. I'm like, I just don't sleep. But I watched season 43 of Survivor.
Oh my God. Thing. The whole and thing?
I mean, it's only like 8 episodes.
Oh, they used to be like 20 some.
Yeah.
Long
oh,
episodes,
yeah. There
like,
might be like maybe 10.
When I watched
10.
It way back when.
Yeah. They might be 10. They have less people now. Like, okay. Go to the island. And so they're there for less days. So I think it's less episodes. But when I was pregnant with my now toddler, we watched 42 seasons of Survivor, like all of it. And so this time I was like, because we're further along, life's going on, I was like, okay, we'll watch 43. And then we started 44. Love it. I don't know what it is about Survivor. I think that's where a little bit of my death games plot love,
yes,
comes into play. No one's dying in Survivor, but you're fighting. And I love it. I love all the drama and everything about it. And then, I don't know, I think I've talked to you about a show called Traitors, like real life Clue. Oh. And there are like old Survivor players in this game. And so I've been eating up Traitors. So good. If anyone watches Traitors, please DM me, because
okay, I used to watch Survivor. And the thing that I remember most, like vividly in my brain, was when someone like inhaled a lot of smoke around a fire and passed out into, mm-hmm, the fire. And then someone, yep, had to urinate on him to, mm-hmm, like buy, yep, time until they could get him out.
Yeah, I remember. I don't remember the name, but I remember that exactly. Yep. I don't know why my brain remembers such random things, but it does. And I love
that is
Survivor.
Vividly inside my brain.
Like, I also remember, well, I mean, I think that's why they're like fan favorites, but like, I remember, I feel like every play and every moment that like fan favorites I've had, I'm like, yep, Tony used to sit in trees and like at the watering hole. Mr. Smut Daddy and I were just going back and forth about all this lore, because they're those like fan favorites are on the Traitor show now. And I think I said it, but it's like a real life Clue game. Obviously no death, but like you get voted out and there's like a murderer and you're trying to figure out like who the traitor is amongst all of the good people. And it is so good. Another thing right up my alley. So yeah. I just been in TV land. Honestly, I've just been in TV land and on TikTok. If you guys follow me on TikTok, you're probably sick of me because my repost game on there, strong. Love real it. Strong. But what did you read? Did you read anything?
I myself had a slower reading week. Did eyeball read Blood Bonds, which is the third Bonds That Tie book by Jay Bree. And this was
Fantasy Why Choose.
Yes. And this was the first book that we had any sharing going on. So oh. I was it's a
there's spice in one burn. And two though. There, right? But okay. There's no sharing.
In one, there's only like
two
second base happening. And yeah. It's not like a good second base. It's a like questionable second base. Like, uh-huh. But then book two, there is one that she yes. bonds with and there's full on fucking. But yeah. There's no sharing or anything until I've like only the read middle book, of the third up to book.
Three. And then I was like, you know what? We were just talking about this. I'm like, I don't think Libby's brain likes fantasy sharing. I would much rather have real people. And me, I'm Brent's like, I would much rather.
Brain real- is like, we can do sharing in fantasy, romantasy, rom-com, hey, romance, dark romance. I've like small town.
Come a long way. Yeah,
with Jen's. But I've come a long out, you know, way. I'll do them all. You have.
From
you have.
Being like, I hate it, and now I'm like, you know what? There are a couple damn good Why Choose books out there.
Yeah.
The fantasy is like a hard limit for me though. Like I like whip out my red card. I'm like, my brain is like, that is so wrong. And that is where it probably should be the most acceptable because
yes.
It's just fantasy.
It's just fantasy. But I am loving this fantasy world. I'm like kind of spacing it out now, doing like one a month because yeah. I do know that I'm going to be sad when it's over. Right
it's
now,
it's nice that it's completed.
Yes. Yeah, there's no more coming out, so
yeah, I so you don't have to like to wait on a massive no cliffhanger waiting. Like yes. most fantasy right now.
My favorites right now are Griffin and North, but I have a like very soft spot for Knox, and I'm very defensive of him because I know that tortured sweet angel baby has a bad past, and I just want to yeah. know. I just want to hug him. But yeah, so I am loving that. And then the only other thing that I am reading this week is I am immersion reading Onyx Storm, and I am buddy reading with two other girls.
And I have to keep all my thoughts inside my head because I can't remember anything. Is anyone else like that? We talk about it a lot, Britt and I, but does anyone else read a fantasy series and then you cannot separate
yeah.
where yes. where each book ends and starts or which plot happened in which book? Like when people are like, so in this book in Throat of Glass, I'm like, if it's literally not Queen of Shadows or Kingdom of Ash, I cannot promise you pretty much anything. Lines, favorite moments. I'm like, well,
it happened in the Throne of Glass series.
It happened in this series. That might be eight books, but it's actually only one book now in my brain. So that's definitely how Fourth Wing is, especially because they pick up exactly where they end, which I love when books yes. do that, where there's no time jump or anything. So when people are like, did you figure this out or pick this up, I'm like, you just let me know when you finish Onyx Storm and I will talk to you about it, because I'm like, I could think it's an Iron Flame and someone be like, nope, that just happened.
I mean, I think I'm on like chapter 26 right now, which is about halfway. So yeah,
you did I'm just enjoying read a good it. chapter. I remember that chapter. But then, like, I was going to ask a question.
Oh, I shouldn't say it because it's...
Yeah. I was going to ask a question, though, and then I was like, nope, because I think that possibly
well, just,
could
I,
be...
They different. Just banged. That's not a spoiler. Oh. They banged, you guys. Shocker. Good one. So, but I won't say anything else.
And I was going to ask a follow-up question, but I honestly can't remember if it's in that chapter or not. So we're just going to keep
we're
it
just
moving.
Keep on going. And that's it's been a very slow week for me. Work people have been out sick, so I've been having to do other jobs than just my own. So like I thought I was going to be able to. I tried to start Sea of Ruin on audiobook by Pam Godwin, but I only got like three chapters in, and then work is normally where I can listen to a lot of my audiobooks, and I just couldn't this week. So it was a slower reading week for me too.
Yeah, but I don't have very many weeks where I don't read anything, but life is life right now. Yep. Life is life, and so I'm just like, you know what, TV. Love, I'm like, TV. And luckily, there's my daddy is always down to watch TV. So, but besides that, and I can't even tell you where I'm going next with my reading. I have no idea. I have taken a step back with like signing up for ARCs and stuff like that. Yes. So now that I have all this free time, my brain is like, what are you doing? Normally you're on a schedule and you're anxious about all of it. And I'm just kind of like, I don't know what we're doing anymore.
We're just taking it one day at a time.
I'm going to start a reread. That's where all of it's probably leading to is like, you know what? Let's start that reread list for this year because we're not too far gone. We're not too far gone. There's time. There's still so much time for rereads.
Plenty of time for the rereads.
I want to talk about our favorite couples, honestly.
Yes, let's do it.
I feel like most of these we have talked about before or brought up, but it's okay because we actually have had a lot of new listeners, people starting from the beginning or just jumping right on in to where we're at. So this is a good little refresher for everyone and to have it all in one place to celebrate the month of love. These are who we love. And this is not the end all be all.
No.
Like we said in the beginning.
There's plenty more.
There's plenty more, but we can't be here forever. That's just not how it's going to work.
No.
So do you want to go first?
So my first one is the first series that I read in contemporary romance journey of my life, and that is Lila and Nova from Inked in Lies by Gianna Darling, and this beautiful special edition cover that I got through Fit Teacher Rachel's.
Yes, she does a great
special
job
edition that she offered
with her special edition.
She nailed this one. Like, the foiling is so good, the property of no one on the back. Just there's some art that came with it, same as the cover for those that are watching.
Love.
A little sticker, property of no one.
So, I love the sunflower.
Yeah, and the sunflower is on the back of, was on the back of my Kindle, and I think it's still upstairs.
Yeah.
I love Lila and Nova. I do love other couples within the series, but this one specifically, they were something special. They were childhood friends, brother's best friend.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Brother's best friend. And it was so good to see them in the past and how they formed a connection, but not in a weird or creepy way or anything. But like, she had a tough life, and he was there for her and supported her when she needed it. And then as they got older, they never had any type. She had a crush on him for forever.
But I was for a long time.
Never had the same feelings, or if he did, he wasn't letting anyone know. And so like, by the time they finally get together, it was just so gratifying to have them finally be together. And then to find out all of the secret hidden messages that he'd been giving to her and the tattoos that he'd been doing over the years. It was the secret tattoo foundation for my love.
Yeah.
And so,
oh my gosh. Yeah. You know what? I'm going to switch a couple of mine around because the best way, I feel like I have same book plots, different font, like same book, different font, but like truly different font. And I mean that in the best way. That's not like shady or anything. But one of my all-time favorite couples is Dakota and Ryder from, can't think of it,
Time River
series. Thank you. This is Don't Forget Me Tomorrow. And I love their cover. If for those watching, it's so good. But I mean, honestly, now that you're just talking it through, I'm like, that is a lot of the same plot.
It is.
But completely different. Completely different writers, completely different situations in life. But this is a book two, and don't skip book one because it's almost made the cut with it. But I was like, you really got to pick one. Brother's best friend. They are not supposed to be together, even though they're both pining after each other. They've had rough lives. She's a single mom. She owns the Time River Diner, where love is always on the house, which is one of my all-time favorite sayings. But he rides a motorcycle, and he's got caught up in some not-so-good things. We talked about it, I think, a week or two ago, where it has one of my favorite nicknames, which is Cookie. God, please listen to the audio of this book. And then just every time he says Cookie, think about me, because you'll never not be able to now. But secret tattoo as well. I was like, wow, That's actually, yep. Those are good. It's a good base, like both of those. But like, honestly, if you've read both of them or have only one run of the other, they are completely, they're like two sides of the same coin, but they're completely different.
Be one of those slides where if you like this, try this.
Yes, that's a great way to explain it. Because I literally was thinking as you were saying all of it, I'm like, I've seen this film before, but in small town world, and they're both great. They really are.
Yes. I love Ryder Nash.
Obviously,
but I love that one, yes. Too. So,
yeah. Oh, yes, same. I love Ryder. He's quite the man. He's quite the man, but I love how fierce Dakota is in all the best ways. She's a great mom and a great friend, and she doesn't want to, like, hurt anybody's feelings or her brother or anything, but she, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do. But Tyburn River Diner is, like, one of those places I wish were real. You know what I mean? Like, I would want to go there and get her.
I would
want
to go and have some pancakes or waffles. Have
her pancakes and her famous pie. And I just want her to say love is always on the house to me. I love it, love it, love it. So I didn't mean to cut you off, but that one was really stuck in my brain because I was like, that is perfect. That is actually so perfect. So once again, that's Don't Forget Me Tomorrow. I'll take all the cookies for that one because I was like, hey, Britt, I'm going to need you to stop everything. Start reading this series.
I told you you'd love it. I did. I still haven't read the last one.
Yeah.
Poor Cody.
It's so good. It's the whole series, honestly. The whole series is great, but.
This is the one I gave to my mom and she thought it was a little too much, yes, for her. She would like stay up late at night or have bad dreams about it.
Yes. It is one of her more intense. Yes. I mean, it's not like it's crazy, but then I feel like it's a good bridge from like the single dad, like cowboy, to a good stepping stone to what Ezra's book is, which is way more intense, you know what I mean, because of the whole like missing sister aspect of it all and the letters. But I gotta give it up to my cookie. It's one of those, you know, you guys have running gags and jokes with all your best friends, and Cookie, you're gonna hear almost all of them today for me, because there's a reason there are running gags and my favorite couples and books. But those are both good.
Rose is coming up.
Yep, Rose will be coming up. Don't you even worry about it. This one we're gonna piggyback off of together. I knew we would have crossover with this. I did. Brutal Prince by Sophie Lark. And if you're watching, Britt picked us up these stunning special editions. She's gonna do them all, right?
I think so, yeah.
I hope so, because I want them all. But they are so beautiful, so incredible.
If she doesn't, I won't be that upset. I won't be mad. My favorite,
That one's my favorite. But I feel like book two, just a random tangent, like with blues, all the blue and like the ballerina and everything, it would be so pretty. I knew that would be our one crossover for sure. And I wasn't mad about it, because I was like, well, I drew literally a strawberry. I was like, I drew a strawberry for us to get tattooed, so it better make the cut.
Caleb and Ada are just something special when it comes to enemies to lovers, rival
families.
It's
true enemies to lovers. That's the thing.
Yes. There's
true enemies to lovers.
Like, you know how sometimes it's a fine line of like, but are they? Like, there is no question. Oh,
but I loved her, but I have to tell her I hate her. No.
No.
This is pure hatred. This is, we're mad. We hate each other. I'm going to beat family members up. Like, I don't care. Yeah. So
and
good,
and the solution is to arrange a marriage between them to squash the feud between the families. I mean,
it's like everything we love and all wrapped in one perfect bow. The my wife moment.
Oh my God.
Stands out vividly in my head. Whenever someone says, like, I need a good my wife moment, I'm like, it can't be beat. I always am like,
so good.
Callum, he pretty much told his bodyguard, I don't need you, so you might as well just shut up and not talk to my wife like that. But also what always pops into my head too, which I know this is our favorite couples, but his mom, Imogen, is one of the best characters, like, ever in all of existence. When we finally got her love story, I was like really happy about it. But she plays like such a big role in the whole couple situation, which I think is why she always pops up in my brain too, because she's like, you do need to treat her right. But then she goes to Ada and she's like, you better quit fucking with my son in these strawberries.
Yes.
And then
like, she's a mama bear, but she's also like, I understand what she's going through and I'm gonna be on her side, but like, that's my baby, like, get your shit together.
It's incredible. I love them. As they are a favorite couple, don't get me wrong. Like, truly, I love both of them. But I do think if someone said, like, gun to the head, who are you picking? I'm picking Ada.
Ada.
I am picking Ada. It lives rent-free in my head where she said, I didn't think his strawberry allergy was that serious while he's laying in a hospital bed almost dead.
I do have to tell you, this week I had a new package arrive, and it is a Griffin for Alderman Chicago sweatshirt. Yes. And I was gonna see if I still had my email order, but I can't find it. But send it, I will. But that arrived today because I was tagged in one of Kristen's posts about match your book to your sweater.
Yes.
And I was like, I remember seeing that Sophie wore it one time in a video.
Yes.
And I like asked for the link, and the girl sent me the link, and I went back to her Facebook group and searched for it and found it, and I was like, we're doing it. So
love it. A lot of people. Well, kind of a lot. A lot of people will randomly ask, like, why do you always use a strawberry? Or, like, why do you say comment a strawberry, like, on all of our posts? Yeah. And I always get excited to tell them, like, oh, so you've never read Brutal Prince. I'm always like, so let me tell you.
Now you have some homework.
Yeah, I'm like, so let me tell you about my girl, Ada Gallo, and how she will use a strawberry as a weapon. And I think I just love females that are like, you know what you have a weakness to? Fruit. Like,
and I'm gonna violence. She's like,
okay, well, if you they both of them, they're like, you got a fruit to take you down, I will use it against you.
And then you have him trying to drown her in retaliation.
Literally drowned. And he does get a lot of retaliation too. Like,
he does.
I know that it's serious.
But then you get like the hot shower sex.
Yeah, you get hot shower sex.
Car sex between them. Ugh.
Which is fantastic. But there are times, even because I've reread this book so many times.
So many times.
That, like, especially like on the dock where he's just like, I am no more for your brother. I'm just like, oh my gosh, like for a strawberry allergy, like you ruined his whole life. Or like, I mean, I get it. Like, it all makes sense with the plot. Like, perfect plot. Love it. But like, I'm just like, she didn't like mean to burn your library down and you ruined her brother's whole career. But truly, they are so good. We could do a full deep dive.
We could. I just love like him knowing her so well that he got the left shoe being left behind.
Yep.
And I was just like, the way they like truly
get
put
each
their
other
shit behind, like, and like move forward as a couple. Okay, we're in this and we're gonna do this together. Mm-hmm. And then they like get to know each other and like better than
the
they
audiobook
know
is also
themselves.
Fantastic.
Like, it's just so fucking good,
especially when I don't know if like full scenes play out in my head whenever I'm reading, and I just picture the most crazy fucking chaotic girl breaking in and saving them all and being like, got him, I got him, I got them all, saved you, I'm only like 19 but it's fine, I literally saved everyone. And I'm just like, that girl's crazy. I love them endlessly. I knew that you would pull through for me and have the same one, because you can't beat it. You can't get it tattooed on you and then just like not bring it up almost every episode. I mean, that's just the way it works around here.
People would have maybe questioned my sanity if I didn't.
Especially that one, I feel like, because like our big part of our like brand, I try to hide strawberries and use it all the time, because I'm like, I like, this is it, like this is our girl, our end all be all is with her. So if you guys haven't read Brutal Prince, I don't know what more to tell you except you better go read it. You better go start it right now, because we're watching you. What do you have next?
It just popped into my head that the shirt that I am wearing and the next book are perfect.
Oh, I was, as soon as you logged on, I was like, well, that one's probably going to pop up, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. It is The Right Move, Ryan and Indy. And today is their anniversary, their birthday.
Oh,
their
actually
book birthday.
Today?
Yes, today. So that's what just made me get all giddy inside. But I got this beautiful special edition from Liz Tom Forty's website with the basketball and the flowers. It's just so beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It came with some nice art too, but I put it in a different spot because I keep my artwork and my stickers and stuff in different places. But I feel like I've said everything that there can be said about Ryan and Indy and The Right Move and why I love them, but we will recap for everyone.
Yeah.
As part
I mean,
of
it's a definite like books to world cult classic. Like, I was way late to the game reading it. Everyone else was like, what do you mean? Like, we all start like low key with them. And I'm like, I don't, what? I was like really thrown off. I was like, okay, I will. I'm being bullied enough to read it. Plus it was your favorite, but
it's my favorite. I read it in February of 23 when it came out. Did you? So yeah. But it's book two in the Windy City series. It follows Mile High. Ryan is Stevie from book one's twin brother, and Indy is her coworker and best friend. And she ends up getting cheated on by her douchebag ex-boyfriend Alex and needs a place to stay. Otherwise, she's going to have to leave Chicago, and Stevie just made a friend, so she didn't want her to leave. So she begs her twin brother to let
her. Back-to-back Chicago books, too.
Yes. Oh yes she begs her brother to let Indy move into his spare bedroom, and so we get roommates to lovers. We have best friend's brother, and then he Ryan needs to prove to his GM that he can be a family man and says that he is dating Indy, and so alas, a fake dating trope gets thrown in there as well. But I just love them. We got a little grumpy sunshine going on. He's had some shitty things happen to him in the past, so he's closed off and secluded himself so that he doesn't get hurt. He's worth millions of dollars. Mm. And so lots of people, he's not sure what their true intentions are, but Indies are always clear. And she's just, I want Ryan, you're hot. Like, mm-hmm. I'll flirt with you. Like, let's have a good time. But I love their progression. She unfortunately has a slight problem where since her ex-boyfriend was caught cheating on her, she hasn't been able to have an orgasm. And Mr. Ryan Shea is just such a gentleman. That
let me solve that problem for you.
For a nice thigh ride. And I know Katie from Smut It Up is going to appreciate a good thigh ride. And I do too. Let me tell you. It's so good. He ends up braiding her hair in this when he takes care of her when she gets sick. I mean, there are just...
such a good microtrope.
Yes. There are so many good moments in this. They end up... she invites him to her old friend's weddings, like, as a date so that she doesn't have to see the ex-boyfriend, who, of course, wants her back. And there are so many things that Ryan does for Indy in this that I just love, with, like, putting the coffee in the refrigerator. So...
yep.
Because she wants iced coffee, but he doesn't want to put ice in it because he doesn't want it to melt the coffee.
Yeah. Good man. It's
just, yeah, he wants to try and keep flowers alive for her while she's on her away trips and stuff, even though he sucks at it. Always going to have breakfast together. Breakfast is their thing. And the sign language. It's just...
It's all so good.
The house, the treatments, I love him. He is an acts of service man. I love Indy and her positivity, and they make me happy. They make me really, really happy.
I also used her against you to finally do your bookshelves rainbow.
Yes, because Indy does her bookshelves in the rainbow order.
And I was trying first.
Like, what the fuck is this?
For so long, I was like, you just need to do it. You just need to do it. And then finally, I was like, well, Indy did it. And you were like, I can probably do it then. And I was like, that's right. That's right. You are going to.
And so we haven't looked back, you guys.
I know people are probably like, your things aren't rainbow. These are like specialty shelves. My rainbow shelves are upstairs where I can stare at them all the time when I'm laying in my bed.
I would say, I have like a different, like my main bookcases where I have the rainbow. And then I have a couple of other bookcases up in my bedroom. And those I sort by more so like.
Yeah. These are done by shelf. Yeah.
Yeah.
These are like done by shelf down here. Plus it's mostly fantasy down here. But
yes.
Love the rainbow.
All right. What's up for you next there, Father Lib?
We're just going in good order of I've talked about this book a lot. But I can talk about it a little more now because you finally read it. So
that is a beautiful book too, by the binding. It was probably Smut, right?
Yes.
And I canceled my subscription the month before that one.
That one hurts my heart. I know. I won't lie. Crossroads, for those that are listening, by Devney Perry. I will probably never shut up about this book because this is like truly up there. Like, I think I'd have to grab it in a fire with my Throne of Glass original covers. I am obsessed with both of them. I love both of them. India Kelly.
Indy.
Yeah. Oh, we're doing really good for not planning anything out.
We did not plan this, you guys.
You guys should know us by now. We don't plan anything out, but we're doing awesome right now. India Keller and West Haven are, oh my gosh, they're up there. Like, I was thinking about other characters and I was like, you guys are actually really hard to beat for me. I don't know. This whole book took me completely by storm. As if you guys have never heard me talk about Crossroads, I, number one, love Devney Perry. Love Devney. She is top three favorite author of all time. So I thought I was just going to go in like reading a 5-star book. Like, it's going to be great. Of course it's going to be great. It's cowboys and it's Devney and it's small town, like her bread and butter. And so then when I was reading it and I was like, oh, my whole soul is changing and everything is just so good. I don't know. It's whenever someone's like, I just need the best book ever, I'm like, you should probably read Crossroads by Devney Perry. I love all of it. I think a big part of it too is I have come way more around on second chance romance. I used to really not do them.
Yeah, you used to not be a fan of them.
At all. And you would be like, you should try this one. I'd be like, I don't think so. But this is a fantastic second chance romance. I love the dual timelines with all the flashbacks of when they're kids and how they grow up together, when she goes and visits their ranch, to Mr. Haven, the original Haven, being just the biggest pussy in the whole world and leaving
fucking
everything
Curtis.
Up
I hate that to, man.
Like, I didn't even remember his name. That's how much it didn't matter, Curtis.
Oh, I remembered it because I was so pissed off.
Yeah. And so he just puts the whole weight of the world literally on India's shoulders because he's a pussy, like straight up. There's no way around it.
What the fuck?
And I don't know. I loved everything about it. I really enjoyed, spoilers, obviously, for each book we talk about. But now that you've read it, it totally threw me off guard the whole time with the phone calls with her dad. I was like, yep, you're checking in with your dad and it is so good.
I actually called that
and I was like, everything's good. Like, and I think it's because I was just in Devney Perry small town land. I was like, everything's probably great. Like, yeah, he's sick, but like, we're good. So then when she's under the willow tree on the top of the hill and she finally says, or the phone bill stopped being paid, I think I cried harder than anything ever. I mean, full-blown Kingdom of Ash tears. I thought I was going to die and never make it out again, because that's how...
You guys, I'm a cold-hearted bitch because I had zero tears.
I was shocked to my core, and I think it's because I've read so much Devney that I'm like, I cry. You know what I mean? Like, I'll cry, I'll tear up. But like, I was completely blindsided, devastated. I don't know what the fuck happened to my put it all together brain. But when they said the phone bill stopped being paid, oh no. I had to take a big old freaking stop in the audio. I was Emerger reading it actually, like Kindle and on audio, because I had gotten
that's
the
actually
ALC
how I read it too,
was and the ARC, and I had to stop. I was full blown sobbing into my Kindle. There's my dad. He's like, "Are you okay?" He's like, "I thought you were reading Small Town." I was like, "I am reading Small Town. I don't understand." They are beautiful, India and West. I just love everything about them. I love their dynamic. I love the tiff. I'm a big girl that likes the back and forth and some of the angst and the drama. I love India a lot too, because she would just let him do it. You know what I mean? She would just let him be mad and be like, I can't tell you, because she did sign contracts and stuff. But then I am a big component of like, now you're going to grovel because all the truth came out and now I need you to grovel. Plus she named the ranch in the best way. Like, I just loved every like component of your like, that's a Libby book. Devney literally wrote into this. And so that's why I'm just like, masterpiece. Infinity stars for me. I can't wait to read it. I'm trying to be really good about that one, because I'm like, there's only so many times you can read it. Like, yeah. It's right up there with like, you only have one first reread of Throne of Glass. You only have one first reread of Crossroads for me. And I'm like, you gotta hold back. You gotta savor it. But India and West, and I love Jackson this too. I just loved it all. I'm like, everything about it was great.
You know who I hated so much? Lily.
Oh, well.
Fuck off.
I'm like, you're
kind of. You missed your chance to leave. Sorry.
You're kind of right on that one.
Emotional damage to a child. Like, fuck.
Literally.
You.
She's totally on
raging.
The list.
Yes, and Courtney too. Fuck her.
But then I loved how it all fell into, not like that, but I loved the pieces that the women were able to pick up to help and like make it all better. But that one was brutal for Jax, which you get more of in book two, which is Sunlight, and it's just the most perfect little infinity duet. I also am not afraid or ashamed to say I cried really hard when Devney was like, that's it, it's just a duet. And I was like, okay, well, it makes sense, there's just two of them. But I was very distraught because normally I'm like, yeah, we're going 5-6 books deep in this town. And she said, this is just a little pit stop.
We're done.
Onto the road of greatness. But I love Crossroads. If you read any book by Devney Perry, please read Crossroads. Please read it. Please read it and love it. And honestly, I haven't met that many people that don't like it. And all the Goodreads reviews, because I'm crazy, are like, this is great. And I'm like, yeah, it is. All of you guys are in on how the greatness now. But I had to be careful because I didn't want to tell you anything the last few times we were talking about it.
I had a few issues that I was
like, I knew you would, which I told you.
Very ragey. Yep. So I'm one of those that does not love it as much as Lib, but I am glad that I read it.
I think it was a good one for your first Devney. And I didn't pressure you to read Sunlight. I pressured you.
You did too. You told me that it was going to be a accidental pregnancy that I could add to my love list.
Yeah, I guess I thought you would love it more than you did. But I knew you wouldn't love it as much as me.
I was not a fan of it at all. The only thing I liked about it was she told him right away. But other than that, I was pissed.
And some people are like, no critique on that. I don't care what you critique on that. But no critiques on Crossroads. I'm like, we have to love Crossroads.
Don't read my Goodreads review then.
No, I did. It wasn't that bad. I also really liked that when they put titles, when they work it into the book really good. And this one was really good for how their collisions.
The Crossroads.
Yeah. How their collisions on Crossroads, but they're forever each other's. And I was like, well, I was going to cry through the whole book. Can't wait to read it again. Truly. So good. So good. All right. What you got next?
All right. You haven't read this one yet, have you, still?
Which one?
Devil's Night series?
No.
Okay.
It's on that never-ending Halloween
October list that you're gonna get to at some point.
We have to get to it. We both have this list, and I'm like, how am I going to get to it?
But my next power couple is from Killswitch, which is the third book in the Devil's Night series, and it is Damon Torrance, one of my top 10 book boyfriends, and Winter Ashby, who it's a second chance romance, I think, is a good way to classify it.
Okay. I'm like, I can't piggyback off you on this at all, except that I want to read it. It's not that I don't want to. Just it's what a bully am I supposed romance. To do? Like, yeah, that's why I really want to read it.
Full disclosure, this series is a bully romance, you guys, and they actually bully them. So don't be surprised.
And that's why I'm like, don't think I don't want to not want to read it. I do, solely for the fact that they are bullies. I love a good bully.
So there is something that happens in their past that is not great, but this is where I'm like, shit, Libby hasn't read this and I don't want to ruin it either.
Don't spoil any big things, but the small things is, you know, I'll forget those. That's the power of ADD. Okay.
So something
this
happens.
This is the tattoo you have.
Yes, I have a big ass tattoo on my side of a fountain. So they have a long history together from way back in their childhood where there's an accident and it kind of sets their trajectory of how their lives proceed from there and go on very different paths. Damon was raised by a very abusive family and Winter was raised in a very coddled, maybe like very affluent family, political family, but just not different sides of the track, but just different. Like Damon's dad is more so like, I have a lot of money because I do a lot of illegal shit. And her dad has, I have a lot of money because I also do illegal shit, but it's kind of legal because I work for the government type of thing. You know, like once for
two
the government,
sides of the same
like,
coin.
Yes.
Yeah.
Anywho, then in high school on Devil's Night, the night before Halloween, so Halloween Eve is Devil's Night, they get into some trouble and they like to, when they go out and do their antics, they like to film it on a camera phone. And the camera phone falls into the wrong hands and Damon ends up having to go to prison for a little bit. And when he gets out, everybody is out for revenge. And one of the ways that he's getting his is by marrying Winter's sister and forcing them all to move in and live with him. And you're like probably thinking, what the fuck, Brittany?
I'm like, this is new information for me.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, like not in a bad way, but I'm just like, interesting.
Yep, yep. But a lot happens, and they have a very unique relationship, and they're figuring things out.
I would fucking say.
Yep. but they're so good together, and like I'm gonna have to say something. In the very far away past, when they were children, there's an accident. I won't say anything, but what Winter ends up being blind.
And, yeah, I knew that.
Okay. So when they're in high school, she's like, I'm never going to get to learn how to drive. I'm never going to get to see like all these beautiful colors. I don't know. Like, I'm just like, she was already a sheltered girl, but then that happened and she was even more sheltered because I guess I get it as a parent standpoint, you know, like you want to protect your children and something bad happens when they're under your care. And now you're going to overprotect them to make sure nothing even bad, worse happens, that sort of thing. But he ends up getting her to sit in his lap to drive so that she can have the experience of driving and like he equates all of the feelings to colors of like
that's so good.
This is red and it's just and like she's like I'm when they go on their little adventures and stuff and around town she's like okay you guys can go without me and he was like what are you talking about like
so good
we go together like if you don't go I don't go like and if I'm going you're going we're you are not letting this disability affect your quality of life in any way whatsoever and if we can't do it then we're both not doing it but we are meant to be side by side equals in this partnership and he ends up building her the most beautiful fountains and she can feel the water and it is just it is so good. I love them so fucking much. It is the best redemption story I have ever read ever.
I don't know if it'll top a couple of my terrible men that I love. But I bet you he'll be added to the list.
He's so good. All right, what's up next for you, Lib?
I don't think there's any way to make these go together, but the Brit.
Oh, the Brit.
Did you see the new cover sidetrack that they're getting all new covers? And
don't they kind of look like that?
No, they're like really like jewel toned and they all have like shattered. Oh my gosh, you got to go to Jody's page and look. They're all like, they have different forms of like shattered glass and the edges will line up and be like a bullet like shooting through. Oh my gosh, which is perfection because I finished the series. I don't think you have yet, right?
I haven't, no.
Yes. So it like ties together perfectly, but The Brit by Jodi Ellen Malpas is literally one of the first books I've read. I mean, it's not the first book, but it's up there in one of them.
It's so good.
Book one, and it is absolutely fantastic. It has never been taken off any list ever. He's a book husband. You do not make Danny Black a book boyfriend. That is just, that's not going to fly for Danny. Danny Black and Rose Cassidy. It's mafia adjacent, but still mafia perfection. Like truly
is
one
of. Is it adjacent?
Some people say it's not full blown because he's not like technically, like I don't want to spoil that, but you know what I mean? Some people say, well, can it be because the full series isn't? I say it is.
I would qualify it as mafia every day of the week.
Me too, like always. But especially because as the whole series continues playing out, don't think that you just don't see Danny Black anymore. That would be a fucking criminal offense. You see that man every book, all the time. He is a huge part in the last book that wraps up the whole Unlawful Men series.
Is that The American?
Brad. It's so good. Danny Black, I don't even know how to describe him because it's not going to do him justice in any way, but he is truly, when you think mafia specimen, it is him. It is him in every way. There are no rules for Danny. He will do whatever he wants, whenever he wants. He will rip your heart out, put it back in, but he'll definitely make sure that you're having a moment and having a freak out. I wish I still had those texts. That's the time where you texted me and you're like, this sucks. Like I just fell in love and this sucks. And I was like, well, so I guess that's a little bit of payback. Mine was not as bad, but because mine waited books, let me just say. This was only chapters, but I don't know what it is about Danny and Rose, except they are the most perfect couple ever. I love them so much. I love the way he doesn't coddle her, but knows that there are moments where he has to be softer, and so she brings that softer side out of him. I love that she'll do anything to protect her child, which just is so heartbreaking when you get to the whole story of it. I love all the friends. I love Brett. I love all the people you meet that make up the rest of the Unlawful Men. But there's just something about Danny Black. Like whenever, because I do recommend it for all mafia. And so whenever someone's like, I need the best mafia book you've ever read, well, you should probably read Danny Black. And I think a lot of it too, that why I like it so much or love it so much is because you're kind of are figuring out a whodunit. When I was thinking about it afterward, you know what I mean? You're waiting the whole time to figure out like, okay, well, like who wears the serpent ring then? And like, where did it come into play? And how does all of this happen? And it's so good. Guys, being a freaking peeping Tom around the corner and she just scared me so bad. I apologize. Danny Black will literally work his way with his boat and jet skis into your heart, and then he's never gonna leave. Those fucking jet skis, I couldn't figure it out when we were like, when I was reading it the first time, I was like, wow, they bring up this really stupid side business a lot, like a lot. But then when you get to the whole ta-da of it all, I was like, wow, jet skis. You know what I mean? I really want people, there are a lot of people that haven't read it, and so I want to push this down their throats, especially because you've also loved it.
I have, yeah.
Does not have a book one curse. Dare I say it's the best book out of all of them. Not that the rest is bad.
I need to try and find a time to get back to the rest of them, but there's just so many other series, man alive.
With you. He's on my list this year, obviously, to reread, but they're perfect. And I know it keeps talking about Danny, but Rose is also just as good. And whenever we scream Rose at each other in that deep voice, it's because that is 1000% what happens all throughout the book. Every time there's a problem, or he's more falling more in love, or emphasis on a problem, he's always screaming Rose, and it's Shane East narrating it. And so just picture Shane East as the Brit, and you are now going to go listen to it and love it. So good. What do you got next?
All right. Next, we have, for our visual viewers, we have a new cover of one of my favorite books. Have you heard of His Greatest Muse by Hannah Cowan?
I thought I knew where you were going, but at the same time, I was like, is she pulling a fast one on us?
So if you're wanting to see a not safe for work cover of His Greatest Muse, this is my newest cover of it, of Noah and Tiny.
That is fantastic. Absolutely delicious. Isn't that
so yummy? And then nice little quote on the back.
Oh, so good. I love when they put just the quote on the back, like simple.
Yes. Yep. It says, I want you to rip the halo off my head, Noah. There are very few things I've done in life that I've loved as much as being on my knees for you.
Oh.
So pretty fitting. So good. For
the
cover. But you guys, His Greatest Muse is a rock star boxer romance.
I don't think we've ever talked about this book.
I've never heard
about it. It's new. It's groundbreaking.
Yes. We have Noah Hutton and Tinsley Lowry, aka Tiny. I love them so fucking much.
I think the whole world knows it.
I'm just saying, it's my profile picture.
In the best way.
I'm holding that book in front of my face. So you guys, not this one specifically, but
retake it with that one.
But I just love them. They are best friends to lovers, soulmates. Just, I heard someone describe them as grumpy sunshine, but I don't think that Tiny's really sunshine per se.
Yeah.
But I guess compared to Noah, she is.
Can you be sunshine when you have that
when
occupation?
You're a professional boxer? No, it's
you're feisty.
Yeah, so I'm like, no, but like, I get what you're saying, but Noah's just a very,
it's more just like grumpy, but they're in, she's not
troubled
grumpy.
Soul.
Yeah,
whereas like Noah's mad at the world, and like he's one of those MMCs that's like only soft for her and only has time for her.
Yeah.
And everyone else, he's just like, I don't have fucking time for you, like this is stupid, like just let me be by myself. And Tiny is like, the social butterfly and loves everybody. She does have that aspect of the sunshiny personality. Like, she's very close with her, both her parents and her sibling, her brother. She loves Noah and his sibling. She's also best friends with Noah's sister, so it's kind of a dual best friend's brother, because Addie would always, like, fight with Noah about who's the best friend, and, like, Noah's like, well, we know it was always me, and Addie's like, but was it?
And he's like, well, who slid in there? Literally.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I love them. They're fighting. Well, he's no longer fighting his feelings for her. He's kept them under wraps for as long as he can. And now he's like, just blatantly like, okay, time's up, Tiny.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, this is ridiculous. We belong together. And she just slowly starts to let him in more. And it's just so fun. I have my favorite microtrope with him jizzing in his pants. Mm. You have him telling her to run and chasing her through the house, like through an alleyway to the house, like, so we got some primal play going on. It's just, there's a romantic suspense element to this storyline with someone stalking her. There love. Is just
me, I'm like, love, yeah, love a good stalker.
Yes, they get tattoos on the same day, like, and they get face tats, which people are like, face tats? And I was like, you know what, you just gotta read them, it makes complete sense. He has a fancy peen, but then he's got the fancy, I don't know what we want to call it, but it's like for the lady at the base, like for the clitoral stimulation piercing.
It goes all the way?
Well, no, he has like two separate ones.
Oh, okay. Does he have a full ladder?
No, he doesn't have a ladder.
He has a top and a bottom.
He's got a top and a bottom.
So I was about to say, damn, the commitment.
Care of both ends.
I guess, that's still great. But I was about to be like, holy shit, the commitment on that man. That has got to hurt.
Internal and external stimulation from Noah's piercing. If that's not a man that cares about his woman's needs, I don't know what is. So I love them. She's one of those badass females. Like, I don't want to just all talk about him, but like, she's one of those FMCs that's like, if you fuck with my man, I am going to fuck you up. And she literally does. And it is so good to see them grow in their friendship. I feel like they are truly meant to be. And like, then their family's like finally realizing like, well, of course you're together. Like, duh. Like, we always knew that's what was going to happen. But there is another like underlying storyline with Noah and his dad from past trauma that they have to work through. And like, Oakley's book is from Lucky Hit. So it's just kind of like cool to see that dynamic at play too. So yeah, I love Noah and Tiny. I love them equally. Separately, want to be her best friend.
All the above. Yeah.
Be his woman. So, yeah. You know? Love him.
We're going the complete opposite way, folks. We're going to No Spice Land. I mean, Pining and Fade to Black Spice. But I honestly, I can't think of a favorite couple without thinking of the people who are behind me on my shelf. And so I present to you Divine Rivals by Rebecca Ross in this stunning UK cover. That's a fan. I think a fan drew it, and then it ended up being the UK cover.
Oh,
yeah, if I got it right. Like, that was not the original cover set for them. It was more typewriter-y, but we read all things here. There's been a lot of discourse about too much smut and we hate smut and all this bullshit this week. And I'm here to say that I read it all. I don't care what you guys read, what you don't read, but we can go from the spiciest smut to I'm fine reading fantasy and no smut. And this is like historical fiction fantasy. And it's so good. Roman C. Kitt. Oh my God. Like, I love him. I love him. This is young love. These are 19-year-olds in wartime. And Iris Winnow, who is a total badass. They both work at the Gazette. They both report on what's going on in this war, which is between two magical gods that have been fighting for forever. And then Iris has a bullshit mother. I'm just going to be honest. Her mom is not great. And a bunch of life stuff happens. And her brother decides to end up fighting in this war. And then the whole like baseline premise besides their story, Roman and Iris, is her brother is a missing in action soldier. And she's like, that's not going to fly with me. Like, if anyone's going to figure out like what happened or like figure it out. Like, it's me. I'm a reporter. I do like detective journalism. So she joins the front lines as a reporter and goes to write up on the front lines to still report, but like it's way worse. You're way more in battle. Mm-hmm. You have to learn how to fight and learn how to protect yourselves from this magic and the gods and all of these things. And Roman doesn't like that. Roman has been playing the I hate you game back. They do kind of hate each other, but it's more like if she talks to me because she hates me, then at least she's talking to me.
Yeah.
So when he finds out that she goes to the front lines, he literally calls off his arranged marriage, quits his job, and literally runs. I mean, figures out where she is and then runs to her in like an epic moment that Britt and I talk about a lot. We love a good running moment. And this one has like the war going on above them because there's like these
not
Wyvern.
To be confused with the running that was going on in the last book we chatted about.
Right.
Different running.
Different running completely. Think like Pride and Prejudice pining, yes. Like that yearning for each other. This is like when people are like, I want a book like because I love love, then you should be reading Divine Rivals. It's not hard fantasy to follow. Like I said, it's historical fiction fantasy, which is very unique. I think it's done so beautifully. And it's kind of pretty much set in Chicago, weirdly enough. It's kind of the vibes of it. Yes. Before they, like, this city is set up like Chicago. And it's beautiful. It is a beautiful book, but the plot is like still there with the fantasy and stuff. It's just not like hard to follow. There is a major cliffhanger mixed with a twist at the end of this book that so you have to go right into Ruthless Vows, which is just as good, even more pining because they're trying to figure out how to get back to each other. And you guys know me, like, you know, I love love, and Pride and Prejudice has been one of my favorite things of all time. And so to put that into like a new type of, it's like Pride and Prejudice meets like You've Got Mail mixed with 17, if you guys have seen that movie or read anything about that, like wartime. It is so good. I've never read anything like it, and I don't think I ever will again. That's like just truly how unique it is. And I think I read before this like some really crazy mafia like high spice, and then went into this and it took nothing away from it. Like, yes, yeah, it's fade to black, but it took not one thing away from the story because it is YA, but it's fantastic. And it all comes together with magical typewriters. I'm really bad with usernames, but Sam, Dancing Pages? Through Pages, we'll put it up on the screen. But she actually sent me that typewriter. It's a like music box, and it has like a little secret hidden compartment. That's how you know that she gets me, and I love them. I will work them in to any conversation where people are like, I don't know if I would want to read YA. You should read this. Like, if you love love and you don't mind like more historical fiction aspects, even though it's not full historical, but it's like set in the past, it's perfect. I have reread them a lot. I'm like, this.
I still want to.
And that's no pressure because I know they're not for everybody, but I feel like a lot of people will immediately write it off because they're like, well, it's YA. I'm like, it's probably one of the best YA book like duets I will ever read.
It's not the
like,
thing,
especially
because
you
off.
Like historical. Yeah,
do. I love historical.
You
romance,
love historical, so I feel like you'll understand the pining and just the way that it all works out. And it's just, it's.
I mean, I'm
amazing.
Thinking like Downton Abbey and them taking in the soldiers during the war. Like that's what I'm thinking in my head
and
right now.
I like the way that a lot of just it's all wrote out. Like when they go to the front lines and they're interviewing these soldiers, like it's a really great, like how, like just all of it, like there's not one plot like hole and there's nothing. And then just to have it all wrapped together with these like magical typewriters, which at first I agreed, I was like, this kind of seems silly, but it's like, it's absolutely perfect. Nothing like it will ever be done again because it can't be, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's truly its own thing. Like you already have the more contemporary version of it, which is You Got Mail. Like obviously there's not.
That's such a great comparison.
But you know what I mean? Yeah. Like you're not, if you know You've Got Mail, then you're going to understand these magical typewriters and they're perfect. And I love Roman C. Kitt. I love it. And you might be like, why are you saying C? You got to read the books.
You got to read the books.
If you want to know what's going on with that C, but read it. Try it. Try this YA. Trust me. I don't steer you guys wrong. It's so good. It's so good. And I feel like the fantasy, if you're also wondering like, oh, I want to get more into fantasy, but like the high fantasy is too much. This is a great stepping
stone.
Good
introduction. Yeah.
Just to kind of learn how fantasy stuff is set up, how like the hierarchies work, especially because these are gods. So it's not too much craziness with like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Onyx Storm is like a lot, like fourth wing and Onyx Storm, that's a lot of high fantasy. I mean, this is way more toned down. So I love them. I could talk about them forever.
I love it.
I probably will. What you got?
All right. Next is we're getting into more recent power couples that I love, but we have Unravel Me by Jen Plummer, which we have talked about before as well. But
running. Sawyer, we just love to run.
running. But we have Sawyer Hayes and Ivy Turner in Unravel Me, and again a book where I love them both by themselves individually and who they were as people, and I love them together as a couple. It's a second chance romance. We have Ivy, who hasn't been home for 10 years, is coming home after a bad breakup, and she's in a rough spot. She's coming back to the house that her parents own that's now hers, and she's trying to figure out what she's going to do with that, and she's not sure how she's going to be received at home, and maybe she can just fly under the radar. And then,
girl, I've read this. That's why I'm laughing. Because I'm like, girl, have you ever been to a small town?
I was like,
get out of here.
Small town. Now you're returning.
Not
to
just
New York
a small
City,
town.
Maybe, but you
a
are
small
in
hometown.
Yes.
A small hometown. Get out. Everyone knows the minute your car goes over the freaking county line.
Yes, but Reed meeting her first is one of my favorite thing. I was slightly worried at first. I was like,
I knew you would be. I knew you would be.
I was like, I have good vibes about you, Reed, but now I'm not sure what my vibes need to be for you. Like, we just gotta like take a deep breath, Brittany, and keep reading and keep reading. And then when
I told you it would all be okay.
It was all okay. But when Reed goes and tells Sawyer that Ivy's back and she's hurt and she's upset and like she needs space, and that man is like, fuck that, I've given her 10 years, and that man runs to her, runs through that front door, and
I don't know what it is about men running to their women.
It is brain altering.
That's like that is the, I mean, I was already in love, like with the, like, I know with divine right, but like when he ran, I was like, well, it's right. An end all be all, because the guy's running. I don't know, it makes me think of all the old classics
it
movies
does,
where
yes.
They're running Sweet Home Alabama and The Notebook and everything literally in between.
We have a great story of finding each other again. We get another jizzing in his pants.
Yep, I was like,
multiple times. Yeah, I'm not mad about it. They have a really good mirror scene too. I think people forget.
Yeah,
about
I was just about to bring
scene.
That up, because that is works. It's really working its way up into
it
my micro trope category.
Same, and I am like, okay, Jen, can we have another mirror scene? I know you don't want to repeat the same stuff, but like that was so good. I wanted
to. We're gonna have to do a micro trope episode.
Yes, but then you still have the layer of suspense and her crazy ex boyfriend, and it's just her Ivy finding herself and being a chef and being okay with being back home, and Sawyer now feeling like he's not like carrying the weight of the world, like it's just as the oldest
it's
son
so
and his
good.
Dad's illness and you know, it's just so good. I love it.
It's
I want to
so
go
good.
To Hayes family dinner on Sundays. I want an invite. So I love this Aspen Ridge series so much. It's so good. I am so excited for the next one, which is coming out
Love Me
next month. Love Me,
yeah
with Liam and Hannah.
I'm
so
very excited too.
But this is perfect. I thought this was a great debut novel, a great setting off this series. Like, you know, it's not the book one curse. It is just so fucking good. And I love them. I consider they're like one of those couples that I term and coin as soulmates. I do love them.
Yeah.
And I think they just were meant to be. But Ivy's mother was not always.
A lot of moms can make
the
punch list.
Yeah.
We still
Ivy's
need to do a
mom
punch list episode.
Is on the list. So I'm just like, ma'am. And then I feel bad because she's no longer
Doesn't
living
matter.
In the fictional world.
You should have done better.
Yeah, she should have done way better.
You should have
been
better.
Selfish and like in like pushing your life onto your daughter. And I just.
I could name multiple moms that suck ass out of all the books we just listed.
Yeah,
those
so
great
I love
female main characters.
Unravel
though.
Me. Jen Plummer. Read it if you haven't.
So good. I think this one might surprise you.
Oh,
not
really?
Not in a bad way, but you'll be surprised I picked it.
Okay.
And it's not that anything else is bad, because I've already talked about a couple that's technically in the same town, but different sides of the track. But when I was honestly thinking of my list, and first off the top of my head of like, who do you love as a full couple? I picked Lee and Annette.
Shocked by this.
Are you not? Okay. No. I thought you might be, but when I was thinking about it, I was like,
you love Lee and Annette.
Oh my gosh. So much. One Chance by Lena Hendricks is, oh, it's for the Libbies in the world. It's so, I have a thing about letters. I'm just now learning. Yeah. I'm like, if you got letters involved, I'm probably reading it. Plus, I really like these special character editions. She doesn't do character editions of books. So these are
that edition of the Sullivan family.
I can't remember where they're
too.
From. Was it probably Smut? I can't
was
remember.
Was it that or
cover to cover? I honestly can't remember.
Dark
we can
Midnight,
throw it up on
cover
this.
To cover? I don't remember.
Yeah. We'll
I
throw
think
it
Dark
up on
Midnight
the
is where we got our Bluebird sweatshirts from, our merch from. But
One Chance with Lee Sullivan and Annette Crane. I have a hard time calling her Annie because
okay,
I call her Annie, but we both love full Annette. But we both love full name
full
moments.
I know.
So that's, and he always full names her because it's just too much to not, and you know, they don't like, he doesn't like her nickname. He doesn't like it when people call her Little Orphan Annie. So he always calls her Annette. Boy, you guys, this is such a Libby Coder book because you are in for it. You are in for an emotional roller coaster, but I feel like in the best way.
It's good.
And you can attest because it's not a one-sided, I'm holding on to this information for forever. Yes, there were things wrong that Annette did, but then she wants to come clean. And that is where Lee is like, I literally don't want to hear one word out of your mouth about this.
I'm going to turn her away from you right now and walk
away. I'm literally going to walk away. I'm going to run away. I'm going to hang up the phone. I'm going to get in my car. Like, and you might be like, what? That sounds terrible. But like, I feel like it's a good change of pace from where you normally see like, well, it's a girl holding on to everything and she never wants to come clean about it. She wanted to. She wanted to make sure she did all of the things right when she did things wrong for so long. But I also fully can see both sides of like, I understand why she did it because of wishes and like things that happened. It wasn't great, but it did. And it all revolves around fucking letters. I love letters. I don't know what it is. Please write me letters. I'll cry and write you back. They're so beautiful together because Lee is so out there. He's so wild card. He's the funny guy. He needs to be the humor in all of the world. And Annette has had a hard life.
Yeah.
She's had a hard life. She's an orphan, but she makes beautiful art. I'm like, does that make up for anything? She makes beautiful art, but it's a lot of trauma and heartbreak in this, but I feel like Lena did the best job with it. It's not like you're
so good with it.
It's not like you're reading it and you're like, oh my god, like I cannot believe that all of this has happened. It all just made such perfect sense. The story always kept going, but I love the two of them together so much, and I love on the cover that they're in the bar dancing. I don't know, I just love it. I want everyone to read this book. I mean, I know I always say that, but like, this is another really good one for like, if you like love, but you also are like, I could probably cry and feel some tension. You cried during this one because I remember you sent me a photo.
Did I?
Yeah. You sent me a photo and you were like, well, that one was a little rough. And I was like, I got her, folks. I don't get very many crying photos.
It doesn't happen that often.
But when you do send them, I save them into a folder.
Yeah. Oh, is this the one that you posted of me on your stories? With the heart
for
your
birthday? That's why I kept it. I was like, well, it's Lena and she's crying. I feel like it's a great combo. Happy birthday. But it's really great. The whole Sullivan series is great. The whole King series that's almost finished.
And speaking of Annette. Annette just read the Sullivan
series.
Did. And she loved it.
She loved it.
Duke and Sylvie were her favorite too. Yep. I was like,
which I honestly think a lot. There are a lot of people's favorites.
Yeah.
And there's nothing
wrong
with them.
She's like, I've never read an Annette FMC before. So.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with Daddy Duke. Let me tell you. I just feel like I've read so many accidental pregnancies that it's probably a harder list to crack for me. But that was. this is a 5-star series all the way around. But there's, if you know anything about Libby, you will read One Chance and be like, that makes perfect sense why it's her favorite. You know what
this is the one my mom's currently on right now is One Chance.
I can't wait to hear all of her thoughts about it. My mom also loved this series and loved this book, but I think it's because of the whole background and also the letters and everything that like she's been
and,
through.
And like the military romance aspect of it.
Because my mom and dad would, I mean, because back in the day, they would constantly write letters to each other when my dad was deployed. So my mom finished it and was like, that was really good out of them. And I was like, I know, I love them. And that takes nothing away from my Kings that I love. But doesn't take anything away from Whip and Emily as a couple that I love for them. But I just talked about them like in our wrap up and best books. I've talked about them a lot. And I feel like it was time for Leah and Annette to have their time to shine because they're fantastic. And
I mean, I thought about Duke and Sylvie for my own list. But yes. Mom has my book. So
you were like, well, okay, we're going to have to let that one slide.
Yep.
They're so good. So good. The whole series. But I really do love. I love it. It's the letters. That's what's got to be. I'm like, that's what it's got to be. And the way that he always stands up for her, even when they're like trying not to, like, you know what I mean? Like, we're just friends. We're just friends that have a lot of trauma together. But I love the way that he'll be so adventurous. They're very adventurous in this one as well. Oh, and they're always doing stuff, like, in the bar.
In a hallway.
Abel's like, why is it always my bar? They're, like, doing stuff at the carnival and the beach. Like, all of it. It's all fantastic. But I love how he can turn off, like, that like, wall he has of, like, I'm funny. I'm the funny guy. Like, he can be serious with her, and I married that man. That I think that's also why I'm like, oh, I married the funny guy, but they always need to let their walls down. Like, it's good to have, but like, we need serious time. So I love him. And that's your little shout out, Mr. Smut Daddy. You're welcome.
Happy Valentine's Day.
I'm like, happy Valentine's Day. I didn't get you anything because I'm pregnant with your child. Yep.
Exactly.
That's not true, but that's a great compliment. You know me, Mr. Smut Daddy. You just got compared to a Lena character. Get out of here. All right, what's your last one?
My last one should not shock anybody. I've talked about this book. I feel bad picking it, but at the same time, I'm like...
Whatever. I've talked about my last one a million times.
Have you guys heard of Bull Rush by Maggie Rodden?
I honestly didn't know where you were going, but now it makes perfect sense.
I was one of her lucky contest winners for this release that last September. I submitted my content that I made, and I was one of the people that she drew to win. So this nicely foiled motto cover, and on the back.
I have the discreet.
I do have that one too, but I have this one on display now.
That one's
now,
really pretty. Yeah, and I love that authors are going to this like one quote on the back instead of the full blurb.
And
I think it's so much prettier.
So good, and it says,
I love it.
Still married. Those words change everything. And boy, does it. I mean, it's my first divorce of convenience is how she coined it. It was the first that I've ever read it. They find out that they thought they'd been divorced for 4 years. Nope, that paperwork did not get filed. So
can you imagine? I know we say it every time, but I'm just thinking like, what do you mean? What do you actually mean?
Right. So we have Ramsey Stockton and his wife, Hazel Stockton. Hazel Stockton. She did not attempt to change her name. So we are.
I honestly understand it.
Her as Hazel Stockton.
I do understand that.
Do too, because who wants to go to the Social Security office? And
it was
the DMV
a pain in my ass to change it this time.
Yeah, I don't want to do it.
Like, I'm not doing it ever again.
So no, I don't blame the girl either. But we have Ramsey and Hazel who are trying to move forward with their life after a divorce that didn't actually happen. And so he needs to go someplace where he can be home and check in with his newly appointed parole officer. And so he goes home to his family ranch where Hazel has been, which he left her to run and take care of and do with as she wills. And he comes home and just pulls right up on the lawn and starts to have a shower outside because that's what you do on a ranch in Colorado.
Delicious.
When it's your land and you own it. And then you give a show to all the people inside the bed and breakfast.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there were people complaining in that dining room.
Why would you complain?
Why would
I'd be
tipping.
Look
at this man. Why would you be complaining at
all? I would be leaving a tip. Like, if I leave you $100, will he do it again?
Right. When's the next show? Like, exactly. Do we get more? Like,
yeah. Do these correspond with meals? What's happening?
But Miss Hazel is not happy to see him because she is trying to move forward with her life.
She's fallen in love, folks.
She is engaged to it's men named Curtis, Libby.
My God, you're
what
right.
The fuck?
Why do all men named Curtis suck? Someone's husband's gonna be named Curtis and be like,
side-eyeing
him. I'm
sorry to my friend Curdy Boy, who is a very dear friend, but like, yeah, your name sucks right now, and I just light bulb.
Wow, that's funny because I think I can think of a Vi Keelan book where an ex boyfriend is also named Curtis, and he's the worst.
Worst. Okay. Anywho, Curtis is not a good man, but he's just a shitty fiance because when Ramsey comes home and proposes that they be married again for 90 days, which means she is back in his bed fully and his wife and everything that comes with that title.
Fantastic place to be.
Yeah, she tells Curtis this proposition to get money and they need money to be able to refinance the ranch and to pay for their wedding and to live the life that they want to keep living.
He says, deuces, you go, be free.
And he says, that's fine. You should probably do that because we do need the money, but I'm going to be down in Vegas for a work trip. And like, since like work you get a hall trip. Pass, like
I get a hall pass,
right? And she was like, no, like that, no, that's not what's happening right now. Mm-mm. And like, why, you're okay with this? Like, red flags, you guys.
You know that doesn't go work for me. I want men fighting over me.
Yes, yes. But then we get one of the best phone sex scenes ever. Mm-hmm. And Hazel does have a hard time coming to completion. And so she always has a handy friend nearby.
Love.
But
toys are teammates.
Toys are teammates. But Curtis has such small dick energy that he makes her a toy out of the, like a remnant of him. Mm-hmm. Like it's a mold of him.
So stupid.
Just the worst. Like
there would be a time and place where it was hot and like sincere, but nothing about the way that he went about it
was good in any way. But Ramsey knows this about Hazel and knows what she needs to get there. And he took the time to learn her body. And so she's on the phone with her fiance and he steps in to help a girl out.
It's so good. That's actually a micro trope. I'm just thinking like a bunch of random books just like flash through my head, not with the same exact thing, but where a guy takes a phone call but they still keep fucking.
Yeah,
I think that honestly could be way up there for me.
It's so good. Yeah,
that is a fantastic underappreciated.
And this is one where he then paints himself on her.
Yep.
And then spells mine.
Yep.
In it. And I am like deceased. So like so good. But then you get another great scene with the wedding dress. He makes her put it on.
I was going to say, I always think of the wedding dress.
I should have grabbed that fan art to show you guys. But it's so good. And then like there's suspense going on. And when everything shit's hitting the fan and they're trying to figure it out and like Curtis comes back and he's not what he seems. And the kitchen scene, you guys.
I was going to say, the kitchen scene, though. Oh, Lord. Please help us all.
I love that scene so much. He ties Curtis up and makes him watch as he fucks her and makes her come and scream his name. And then he goes over after eating her out and spits in that man's mouth and says, that's the last time you're ever going to taste her. And
it's honestly iconic. Like if you had to make
it is so good,
an
you
iconic
guys.
Like scene or like line, like these are iconic lines from books that would make the cut.
Yeah.
Top three for sure, without a doubt.
So good. Just I love them. I love that they come back together. It's a second chance romance. I'm a sucker for the second chance romances, you guys. So I eat them up. I want everyone to read them. And that is how we will end Valentine's Day is from Sister Britt is Ramsey and Hazel.
I love
Bull Rush. How are we ending it for you there, Father Lib?
Very stereotypical way, but completely opposite, which is also pretty stereotypical us. Spoiler alert, because we have friends that watch this podcast that are reading Throne of Glass. So you need to turn it off now. That's why I saved it for last. Love you all.
Nobody should be shocked by this at all.
My girl and my fucking buzzard. Kingdom of Ash, the whole Throne of Glass series as a whole, but really only from Era of Fire onward. Rowan Whitethorn Galathinius. That's fucking right. I know you took that last name, you consort. I just love that they always call him consort. I mean, I know it's proper, but I'm like, yeah. He's the king, but he's not. Aelin Ashriver Whitethorn Galathinius. Word, please. I would do anything for my memory to be wiped of this series so that I could read
start
it
all over
all again for the first time. I think
I do love that they both have the other's name. Oh, me too. Name.
But
like,
I love
so
that
good.
Rowan loves her so much that it's last for him. Like, I love that he's like, no, that's my queen. That's my everything. Like, yeah. Her name. He keeps his name because he has like the whole Whitethorn army and land and clan, but because they come and help with their ships and all of that. But I appreciate a man that will do anything for his woman. And he's like, you want to take my name? That's awesome. But I'm going to take yours and put it last because that is very important to me. Oh, guys. I don't know what to say. Everyone knows I love them. I don't hide it. There's no hiding it. He is my end all be all. I love my buzzard and my fire heart. They are perfect soulmates for each other. And I do think that they are. That started with a punch. And I know people are like, that's so stupid that you were like that. That's so toxic. You guys don't know anything about me. I started this journey with bully romances. They're doing way worse than punching her. I feel like a punch is a kiss in bully romance land. I don't know. I love what I really love about them. And I have said it before, but I will gladly say it again, is when he needs to be soft. He is. And when he needs to tell her to, like, you got to grow up, you need to be more, a queen wouldn't do that. A queen wouldn't say that. Or, like, don't coddle her. She knows what she's doing. She can handle it. Like, he just always knows. And I think that's why they can also be put on the list of, like, they are true soulmates. We saw her with other people where they had great relationships. Like, everyone's like, I loved Dorian and her. But, like, they're not soulmates. They're way better as friends. I love that they have that best friend aspect together. But Rowan and Aelin are the complete package. And I love both of them. I will ride for my girl and for him, completely separate, but also completely together. But something about Rowan that we have chatted about a lot, you and I, like, is he is very wise, but also very petty, and also really likes to, like, lore drop with one-liners. Like, he's like, are you looking at me for when you shapeshift next, Skinwalker? And we're all just like, it was one line and you just told everybody you knew everything the whole time about Lysandra. And I don't know. I just love the way that he's like, it wasn't my place to tell it until it was. And the way I'm going to tell it is pettiness. Like, I just love it. I love when he's mean to her in Air of Fire. Like, I like when he's like, oh, you would be better off if you were dead because you're worthless. And we all know he doesn't mean that, because then he turns around and he has to go dump buckets of ice water onto himself because he's just like, what is happening? Like, I already had my mate. I can't be feeling this all again. But those damn bonds. I'm like, that damn Maeve and her stupid bonds. Ugh. I really love in Queen of Shadows when
who's
that? Aelin, right, who's that? That's perfect, because that sound trends and people use it with, like, the funniest bird images. And I am someone that finds great humor in things that I love as well. Like, I love a good Twilight meme. So I love a good, like, Rowan meme, and it's some, like, weird bird or whatever it is, like, in his buzzard form. But I really love when Aelin and Manon are fighting and Rowan steps in to take the arrow. And Aelin's like, you just hit my... And she wants to say mate, but he doesn't know yet. And then all hell breaks loose because you just pissed off the Queen of Terrasen. I don't know why, but it's like a very pivotal moment for me where I'm like, well, they're clearly endgame forever. I will, though, honestly, never... I will never forgive SJM for writing their wedding off page. Fuck you. There is a lot of good you've done in this Throne of Glass world. I will never forgive you.
What is with her in writing weddings off page?
Someone pointed it out. Like, and because I mean, like, obviously I've read ACOTAR and everything, but I was like, you know what? this girl's afraid of fucking matrimony. Like, she is afraid of it. That's one thing I will never get over, because it would have been beautiful and perfect. And but then at the same time,
this is the fact that we got more of Tamlin and Farrah's wedding than wedding we got of her than anything wedding. Else. I'm just like, yes. What the hell? I don't want that bullshit.
And out of all the people, like, I guess I can understand, like, they are private. Like, Rowan and Aelin would just do it. You know what I mean? And let it be. But it's just like, I know it would have been beautiful and I would have cried my eyes out, because those vows of his would have been earth shattering. Like, he has the most beautiful lines. Like, I've said it a lot this episode, but he is for, like, the Pride and Prejudice, like, yearning girls. Like, he has some of the best I love yous without saying I love you, which he does say that too, but it's to whatever end. But just when he's like, you know, even when the world is dust, like, I'll still love you. I'll find you even in debt. Like, all these things. I'm just like, I'm yearning for this man. I would make him real in an instant. Mr. Smut Daddy knows his place with Rowan Whitethorn. If Jeannie gave me 3 wishes, I would wish away this series or wish him to be alive and to love me. Men in Black, make it go away. Make my brain forget it. Like, I would do anything to read this series again for the first time and re-fall in love with both of them. Because I love Aelin. I love everything.
Are you still doing your reread?
I haven't picked back up. I think it's just because I know I'm never going to have it after this again.
Yeah.
I have a hard time.
So you're still technically on Air of Fire?
Air of Fire. Yep.
Yeah.
I'm about 5 chapters into it when she's still Alentia. She's literally nobody at this point. Or maybe she's even going by Lillian at this point. Like, she's just drunk as a skunk. Like, he's flying above. Like, I don't know if this girl's our key to savior.
Yeah.
They're perfect. And I know everyone that's, a lot of people have read it. There are some people that are still finding it, but there's not much more to say when you've read it, except I am in love. And it makes perfect sense when you know me, why they're my favorite. Because I don't hate on anybody else when they're like, this couple is my favorite, or this. Like, I feel like that's what's even so great about Throne of Glass, is because there are so many different couples and aspects of who you can fall in love in. Like, my second favorite is, like, the nobodies in Tower of Dawn. Like,
Sartak and Nezrin.
Yes. Like, I think it's because he also is just like, he gives it all to her. He's just like, well, I fell in love with you.
Me over here with Lorcan and Elodie and Hale and Yureen.
And so I'm like, but it makes perfect sense for us, because I feel like the type of love they have and the way these men, like, portray their words, I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I would want them to say. And that's what you would want them to say and do for you. And I love them. My Fireheart, we have those tattooed as well.
Hidden on that arm.
I put mine front and center every time I'm driving. I'm like, I think of them. I'm like, you know what? We can do this. You do not yield. You just to whatever.
You do not
end
yield.
I love it. I love them. I love all these couples, honestly. Even most of yours. I'm like, there's really only what, 2 books each we haven't read of each other's, or maybe for me 1. They're perfect. We have we have great taste.
I think I
have
2 of yours.
Yeah. We have great taste, if I do say so myself.
We do have wonderful taste.
Agreed. I'm like, when people want book recs, I hate to toot our own horns, but we have like 2,000 books read between us. And
we are reliable. We will give
you reliable,
a good one.
And you know what you're going to get from us. Like,
yes.
And I think sometimes people think that's a bad thing. Like, oh, you rate all your books mostly 4 and 5 stars. That's because we know what we want to read. And then we know how to add things to that. Do we read things that aren't always our favorite? Yes.
Yes.
Do we read things that we DNF or whatever? Yes. Because that's just how life works.
You're trying new things.
Yes.
Like,
but when you want... same
want
book
to try to like certain things, you
but
know,
like,
I don't want to read the same thing over and over. Granted, I do, but at the same time, I do want to try something different. And
yeah,
you don't know unless
and
you
like,
try.
We said at the beginning, you know, like, if you like this, read this. We are a perfect pair for that, because we have read so many that we're like, okay, so you liked this with secret tattoos and motorcycles, so you should read this one with secret tattoos and motorcycles. And then it always comes with a series, so then you by default are reading everything else that we already loved. I mean, we'll be honest when we don't like something and when it wasn't our cup of tea, but for the
I
most
had
part
a cup
what
of
you
tea earlier today and I thought of you.
Did you? I'm a huge tea drinker. Mm-hmm. Me and the cereal would be besties because I also am in all the gossip. So I feel like the cereal and I would just be like, we're drinking our tea. And
he's always sitting here.
Gossiping with us. Upstairs on my dressers that I love him
so much.
But I feel like this was great. We have so many more. We can do part two if you guys want of couples, 3, 4. But as far as off the top of our head, kind of tried and trues, which we've talked about mostly before, but a good reminder. Hey.
I'd say these are our staples, I feel like.
Because I have also
our bread and butter, per se.
Because, I mean, not just me, but like we have tons of books where we could be like, female, great. Him, you know what? Love it's not like he was great, but like maybe the counterpart isn't the best, or like, well, one stands out over the other. So I'm just like, this is perfect. And we'll get to those. We have so many more episodes coming.
Many more books to talk about.
Planning of things. And all. I was like, wow, there are just so many episodes because there are so many books that we've read. But this doesn't really seem like a problem to me.
Nope.
Could talk about romance all day, any day. So I think that's great. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Happy Love Month. We love you all. And
we do love you all.
We hope that you have either found a new book to read and your TBR hates us. We love when you leave comments like,
it's the greatest
my
compliment.
TBR can't. Hey, that means I've done my job talking about books. Or we hope that we've triggered your brain to be like, I need to reread that. They're so right. Because that's also great compliment. But until next time, I am your host, Father Lib, aka the Smut Daddy.
And I am your co-host, Sister Britt.
And we will see you guys next time. Peace and blessings.
Bye, guys. Peace and blessings.